True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Y'all got to be ready to go, man.
Take the drive.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sterner's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it's a tape drop Tuesday, y'all. We got some Texans ticket Tuesday going on as well. We got some tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll see the Texans on Monday night versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're giving it back to the people, so make sure you and all your people stay plugged in to Sports Radio 610. We are giving away a pair of tickets. We seem to be doing that a lot lately. We're going to do it today in the 5 o'clock hour as well as Friday at our live broadcast. Friday at BB's in Katy, 406 West Grand Parkway South, baby. Come hang out with us Friday at BB's. Great, great, great food. And we'll be giving away a ton of stuff, Academy Sports and Outdoors, but gift cards, but the tickets that we'll be giving away with a parking pass, thanks to all of our Houston area Ford dealers. That's Friday. And also Thursday, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings up at in Tomball, 17195 Tomball Parkway, Buffalo Wild Wings. Also, we're going to have D'Amico Ryan's presser, which was absolute fire today. It's must listen. He's had time after his post-game presser. Got home, watched the film, talked to his team. The team has an off day today. And then D'Amico, I don't know if they're off today or not. I don't know what they're doing with Tuesday. Got the extra day with the Monday night football game, so I don't know exactly what they're doing today. But D'Amico Ryans met with the media today and obviously has to respond to several things. What the hell did Nico Collins, how did he not get more than 5 targets and 3 catches? C.J. Stroud's lollygagging comments. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that D'Amico responded to that, as a Texans fan, you definitely want to hear. And we will play that in full right here at 4:40, so make sure that you stay plugged in. But it is a tape drop Tuesday, and I have had time to really dial in on the offensive side of things. I'll watch the defense tonight, but the offense got combed over today, and obviously scoring 9 points and all the struggles that we saw, this isn't going to be a positive tape drop Tuesday for many, okay? I think the biggest thing for me is I probably gave a little too much credit yesterday, if I'm being honest. Watching that game in real time, you know, I thought the offensive line was better than last year. I'm not real sure after watching the film that I feel that way. I'm not real sure that I'm confident in what I said yesterday. I think watching the film, they showed a lot of warts. And I think it starts top to bottom. And I think this is where we have to start with this tape drop Tuesday, Ron, because to be honest with you, it's the biggest, most suspect question about this team. The offensive line, right? The organization has done a poor job of putting this offensive line together. I mean, it's obvious right now their approach to and efforts to fix this offensive line in the offseason from a talent perspective have left a lot to be desired. And watching this film, it was blatantly obvious. And here's where I got to start. I'll start at the most important position and the highest paid player on this offensive line. I guess not the highest paid, second highest paid player on this offensive line. Cam Robinson, the offseason acquisition to be your left tackle, to replace Laremy Tunsil, to be the guy that you pay $12 to $14 million to, a veteran that you depend on. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if it was because he was injured the way he was in camp and he's not over that injury. I don't know if he's still sick because he was sick earlier in the preparation week leading up to the game. I don't know if he just ain't ramped up yet because he missed all that time. I have no idea. I don't know if he gives a rip. And I'm gonna be honest with you.
You don't know if he gives a rip.
You heard me? If to be honest with you, watching the film, Cam Robinson's got a lot of quit in him, man. It's not 12 to 14 million good. He's got a lot of quit in him. I'm watching the film with him and we've heard physicality, we've heard a strain, we've heard finish, we've heard all these different things, technically and mechanically sound. Cam Robinson ain't doing none of it. And he quite frankly, he's one of two or three guys that are getting paid so handsomely that he should be at the very least doing those things. And again, I don't know why it is. Maybe he's not ready, maybe he's not in shape, maybe he's not healthy. I have no idea. But the tape says you can't play Cam Robinson moving forward.
So you're telling me we got rid of a Tunsil, but got a Tunsil-esque-like player?
Well, he don't have Tunsil talent.
Not the talent, but that quit in him, which is something that bothered all of us.
I think. I mean, I think there is a play to contact and then look around and make sure nobody falls on my back of my legs. You know, there is a play to contact, block my guy, maybe get in my guy's way. And even if the running back's still up and churning, I'm just going to stand there and watch the play unfold. There's a lot of that from Cam Robinson. And I'll be honest with you, it shocks me because watching training camp, the one thing I noticed was the offensive line was always finishing. They were always pushing the pile. They were always running to pick somebody off the pile. And Cam Robinson just ain't that. And again, whether it's just flat-out effort, whether there's an entitlement because he's a veteran, or it's because he's not in shape or he's still injured. I don't care what the reason is.
He didn't play a lot in the preseason.
Bottom line is this. If D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio and Nick Cayley, if they want to play winning football, Cam Robinson cannot start at tackle for this football team in week two. If he's out of shape, get him over on the side and get him in shape and plug him back in when it's time. If he's injured, put him on the shelf, send him to the training room. All right?
You're saying what you saw, he was on the same level of as Ursary?
No. Ursary ain't quit nothing. Ursary's trying to be physical. Now, Ursary just ain't quite there yet. He's getting his ass whooped from time to time, but that's to be expected. Look, here's the deal. Cam Robinson can't play tackle for this football team in week two. The period, point blank, that's it. And it's for Cam Robinson reasons and other reasons, right? Cam Robinson can't play. Ariante Ursary needs to be your left tackle. Period, point blank, end of story. Tytus Howard is doing everything he can at right guard. I think he's doing an admirable effort, but it is blatantly obvious watching him that he don't have the skill set of a guard. He's not built like a guard. He doesn't have the play style of a guard. He is a tackle. He does not have that mentality of being a mass mover, like deep in his heart, and he is a more of a finesse in player, in guy on the line of scrimmage that's gonna play with his athletic ability and do some things out there. He's trying his damnedest. I'm not knocking Tytus Howard. I admire the hell out of him for what he's trying to do and the effort he gives. But he's a tackle. He is one of your top two tackles on this football team. And if you want to play winning football, you've got to play those two guys at tackle, right? And then you plug in Ed Ingram if he's healthy at right guard and or Juice Scruggs at right guard, and you move the hell on.
So basically you're saying having Juice Scruggs at right guard is better for this team than having Cam Robinson at left tackle.
That's absolutely what they decided. The way this thing is set up right now, Nick Cayley is got to be overwhelmed with the offensive line. You got a tackle playing guard. that you need somebody that's built a little bit different, that's used to playing the game a little bit different, and you got a second-round pick in Juice Scruggs sitting on the sideline, or Ed Ingram being healthy, would be a different animal. And then you can bump him outside, and you got better play at both tackles. There's no question about it after watching his film that where Cam Robinson is right now, regardless of why, he cannot play in week two. The other part of that is Tytus Howard, if you want to play winning football, is a tackle on this football team, right? And then your suspect spot is your right guard spot. Lakin Tomlinson, good player, doing all he can right now, right? Jarrett Patterson, Jake Andrews, whichever one. I know Jake is hurt, so it's Jarrett. Those guys are going to give you everything they got. They're going to play sound football. They're going to get beat from time to time, but they're going to quit on you, right? Your right guard is going to be your suspect position. When you start this shuffling crap around and trying to give your best five out there, you clearly have created more problems than you solve. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think you got your best tackles on the field playing tackle. I don't believe that you're doing right by your rookie tackle. I don't believe that you're doing right by Tytus Howard, your right tackle, a tackle in this league. I don't think you're putting your best product on the field given what we just watched. Because this ain't no be, hey, everybody be patient, it's week one. No, this is week 21 of this crap. This is week 21 of this crap. It's more of the same, and it's more of the whole we'll fix it, we'll get the best five out there. No, you need to get your tackles playing tackle, your guards playing guards, your center playing center, and let's see what that looks like. And I firmly believe after watching this film that the Cam Robinson move, the Tytus Howard move has got to happen. That creates a little bit of at least common ground for Ursary, your rookie. Because here's the deal. You get that offensive lineup out there, and you look at Nick Kaley, and you go, Nick Kaley, you can put Tytus Howard on an island. Whether he holds up or not is irrelevant. Tytus Howard is a highly paid veteran tackle on this team. You as an offensive coordinator can go into a game and expect Tytus Howard to handle his business at the right tackle position, right? You got a right guard. Again, if we got into trouble, we can Ed Ingram, Juice Scruggs, we can flip that back and forth. You got a center that's been center. You got a left guard that can play. And now, guess what, Nick Kaley? All you got to worry about from an alignment assignment standpoint, from a pass protection standpoint, all you've got to worry about is making sure every now and then you give Ariante Ursary a little help over there on the end. Give him some different looks on that left side. He's going to be on the left side. Don't worry about it. He's going to be on the left side no matter what. Give him some different formation looks over there. Give him some different motion looks over there. Give him some chips by tight ends and running backs. Take care of my left tackle. That's all you have from a pass protection standpoint. Right? So not only do you put your best offensive line out there, not only do you have five guys out there that are refusing to quit and finishing every play, but now you've made it easier for your offensive coordinator as he's designing the game plan and he's protecting against what's going to be a pressure front coming from Tampa Bay. I think that's the first and biggest thing on this film, Ron, that has to happen is the offensive line. It can't consist of Cam Robinson, and they got to make some moves and keep guys in the spots where they've been practicing.
I thought it was a terrible thought and an idea of moving your rookie left tackle back and forth and back and forth. I don't think they needed to do that.
Yeah. Well, they got proof right now. Any football guy worth a flip is going to watch that film and go, guys, that ain't it.
Quick question: yesterday you said you felt like the offensive line overall, was better than what we were seeing last year. After digging into the tape, you still feel that way?
I think not as confident as I did yesterday. I still feel like they were not good, but they were better in handling some of the upfront stuff. It wasn't just complete chaos every snap, right? There's still lack of physicality. There's still a lack of communication. The scheme is still suspect, right? But it wasn't as bad as it was last year. There were moments in the run game where you got some really good push with Nick Chubb, two different runs with Nick Chubb, runs of plays, I mean drives, if you will, with Nick Chubb that were pretty promising, and I don't think we saw that much last year. It's more of Joe Mixon doing things on his own. So the offensive line game film is not good. Whether in any facet of it, it is not good. They got to get it cleaned up, and I think it starts with those starting lineup adjustments.
They're all fixable.
No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that, D'Amico. Week 21, not week one. All right. I know everybody over there, Nick and D'Amico, and everybody likes to start over. It's a new year. It's week one. It's a whole new season. It's a whole new season, but the same old problem. So it's got to get fixed. Here's the other thing: is C.J. Stroud, right? It's obvious on this film, guys, we can kiss the C.J. Stroud having more command at the line of scrimmage thing. We can throw that out the window. We can kiss it goodbye. I don't doubt that there's intentions of C.J. Stroud doing more at the line of scrimmage, but they are in such an infancy stage of that you can't even hardly see it on film. So it may show up in a year, 2 years, or 3 years if Nick Caley makes it that long.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll show up mid-year into the season. But right now, that thing, I thought it was going to be a major factor in fixing the protection and kind of pointing guys out. And hearing CJ talk about having done it in high school and done it in college and how comfortable he is with it and he wants it and he welcomes it, I just didn't – not that he can or he can't do it. I just didn't see it being executed as part of what they were doing pre-snap. Right, so I think that part of it for me is put on hold, to say the very least. The other thing here is that I know this is probably not fair, but the reality of it is for us Texans fans, the formula offensively for this team to be a real Super Bowl contender.
Because we watched the defense.
Yes, the formula for this team to be a true Super Bowl contender consists of C.J. Stroud being damn near perfect. And C.J. Stroud was not damn near perfect. That's just the reality of it. I think he was okay for the first rattle out of the box, but the reality of it is he's got to be the ball placement specialist that we've seen him be before. Yeah. Yeah. There were two or three different balls that he threw that were just flat-out misses, that were throws that you catch them, you run out of bounds, they put you in second and four instead of a second and ten. And so he's got to make those throws. He did not make those throws. All right. The identifying the pressures, I think C.J. Stroud really, like, forget about the communication piece of it and him having more command. Just C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, when he snaps a football, having his eyes where the pressure is coming from, whether he's got an answer or not, him literally seeing it, there were a few times when he was caught completely off guard. And the reality of it is he can't. C.J. Stroud's margin of error is so razor thin, and it's not fair, but it's the only way that this organization wins ball games right now. And he missed some stuff pressure wise. I think he missed some reads where Dalton Schultz was open and he wasn't even looking Dalton Schultz's way. And I think he missed some throws that he quite frankly makes in his sleep, which. Again, it's the margin of error is so razor thin. He's just going to have to hit those if we're going to score points.
Yeah. They getting behind schedule, at least right now, what we're seeing from this offense, getting behind schedule is a big deal.
Well,
harder for them to overcome.
Ron, if you've got a simple concept and Nick Chubb comes out of the backfield, runs up about 3 or 4 yards and breaks to the sideline, and you got a guy trying to cover him 10 yards off. And you throw it wide to the sideline, you don't just throw it right in his chest and let him go get 6 yards. Maybe he breaks that tackle and goes and gets 20 yards. I don't know. But, like, that's not CJ first. But, secondly, the Texans can't miss two or three of those in a game and score points, right? I mean, that's the key here is the film made it very obvious that, yes, CJ missed some things mentally, pressure-wise, mentally from a read perspective, and then physically from just missing targets. And again, whether it's fair or foul is up for you to decide. But it's the reality of it is, I don't know how this team wins games if he's not better.
Yeah. He's got to make up for some of their issues, and his mistakes have got to be down. As you said, missing receivers to obviously turnovers. All right.
It wasn't egregious, Ron. It was just the point is just, man, it's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, last year when they were starting the season and they had Nico and Diggs and Tank.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they could make up a second down and 10.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm glad you said Nico's name because it reminded me. There is no excuse for the lack of Nico in this game. Zero, zilch, no chance.
Nico, miss me with every bit of it.
I don't, yes. And then went on to give me an excuse why they didn't. Forget about it. No reason.
Forget about it. And
forget about
I don't want to hear
it.
Zilch in
in
there.
Fact, it's so it's so egregious when you try to make excuses, you look silly.
You look silly. Hey.
Right, he's going to continue this in the break. Lineups coming up as the Astros are back on the on the field against the Blue Jays coming up. If they had to start a third playoff game, we know, I believe at least most of you know, that Hunter Brown and Framber would get two of the starts. Who would get the third? Would it be today's starter? Luis Garcia, we'll discuss that coming up next.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen. All you got to do is be listening to The Drive. They've already hooked you up with somebody with a pair of tickets on Payne and Pendergast in the loop as well, and you will have the final chance to win it today coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that. Also, next segment, you'll hear in full D'Amico Ryans. He spoke to the media today, and I'm telling you, you don't want to miss what he had to say. A lot of things there that he had to say that in regards to comments C.J. Stroud made, Nico Collins, a lot of things that you don't want to miss. So that's coming up here in a few moments. But the Astros, they are back at it tonight, and they are in Toronto facing Shane Bieber, who they made. That was their big trade over the deadline with Cleveland. Has been one of the better pitchers in the American League for the last couple of years. They are going to face him. Pena leads off. Alvarez is the DH. Correa is batting behind him at short. Altuve is in at second base. Sanchez and Walker behind him. Jake Myers in at center. Diaz is catching, and then Dubon is also in that lineup in the outfield. So Pena, Alvarez, Correa, Altuve, Sanchez, Walker, Myers, Diaz, Dubon in the lineup. I was just about to say, man, I wonder, is this going to be the lineup? But then again, like, no. I think even when they get to the postseason, if they play three games in that wild card round, I think we may see three different lineups.
What's scary?
in that bad boy. But it does seem like, Clint, it's either they're finding ways to get Dubon in the game. I mean, he's playing a lot of different positions, but he is in there. Whether it is one of the corner outfield, center, second base, he's been getting a lot of run out there in the lineup. But that's the lineup today as Garcia gets the ball. By the way, Garcia, he is up for this. And I know some of you are going to have your thoughts. Framber Valdez is going to be one of the top two pitchers for the Houston Astros when they go to the playoffs.
Two things. Framber Valdez is going to be a top two pitcher when the Astros go to the playoffs, and D'Amico Ryans is the Texans head coach. Enough already.
Yes. Yes, he's the head coach.
Who will be his catcher, though?
And now, his catcher won't be Cesar Salazar. I can tell you that.
Guaranteed.
I guarantee that. But, yes, he is going to be one of your top two pitchers along with Hunter Brown. And to be honest with you, you should. That is the best thing for the team. Yeah, he may blow up, but it's the best thing for the team. Gives you the best chance to win. Garcia goes tonight. Alexander goes Wednesday. And then Javier goes on Thursday. Is Garcia, who has just started to get back, has pitched pretty well since he's been back, Clint, is he the guy you think potentially will take that spot as the third starter? If they need a third game to be pitched, you think he is that going to be that guy?
Which one did you say, Javier?
Luis Garcia.
No, I think Javier is that guy.
Do you?
I think Christian Javier is that guy. I think for me, there's a couple of things that matter. Because all of these guys have warts, right? Coming off of injury and doubts and you know, things that we're not real sure of. I got to lean into two things with Christian Javier. One, he's been there before. I don't think the moment's going to be too big. Now, he may play and not play well, but I don't think it's because the moment's too big. Lights are too bright kind of situation. I think he's been there. And two, I think when you look at stuff, he's got as good a stuff as anybody. And so I've got to lean into those two things, and I would have to go with Christian Javier over Luis Garcia. Now, the tough one is Jason Alexander, who's just been steady Eddie, and it's very convincing, right? But right now, where we're at, I've got to ride Christian Javier and hope that we get one of them good days from the big fella. And you know, if not, you got some of these other guys that can piggyback.
Yeah,
but I can go Christian Javier to answer.
Text line coming in. Number three pitcher, Alexander or Javier coming in from the text line. Yeah, man, if Alexander was like young and just had like serious stuff, then I think I would feel different. Like if this, let's say Jason Alexander was what Hunter Brown was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Young, amazing stuff. You're like, yeah, he ain't been in this moment, but I mean, he's got stuff to sit people down. I might really, you know, think about it. It is hard for me to put Jason Alexander in that spot over the experience those two have, and especially the experience of Christian Javier, who has pitched in several big moments in the playoffs, in the World Series, started when they needed him to win. Like he just has so much experience, and you know, I don't think he's you know, turned into Lance and it's just completely left him, right? I still think he could go. So I love what Jason Alexander has done. I think he has been a savior for this group, especially in the second half. You can almost say Brandon Walter at one point was that guy and then handed it over to Jason Alexander, who's really stepped up for the team. But I got to go with the experience of Javier.
I'd go Christian Javier, then I would go Jason Alexander, then I would go Luis Garcia. I mean, we've seen one start from Luis Garcia. I mean, I'm not ready.
I think he's had two.
Has he had two?
Yeah, I think he's had.
I'm looking at this deal here. It says has one, but nonetheless,
I think it's one. But he's going tonight, isn't he?
Yeah, I think the first time.
The first one he went six innings and didn't give up any runs. Maybe I'm tripping. Go ahead.
But this is nonetheless the point being is I have not seen enough from him this year to go, boy, I'm going to put him over Jason Alexander. I would go Jason Alexander in the four spot based on what I know right now and see if Luis Garcia can't convince me over the next, like I'm probably going to get two or three more starts before the season's over, and let those two or three games dictate whether Luis can upseat Jason Alexander. That's where I'd be at right now with the rotation.
All right, let's hear from D'Amico Ryans. He spoke to the media, and I'm telling you, you don't want to miss what he had to say. We'll let you hear what the head coach had to say as they head into week two.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to streeteasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Bucks.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. Remember, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. In the 5 o'clock hour, you will have a chance to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen. So make sure you're listening for your chance to win. It's the final time of the day right here on Sports Radio 610. Also, I love this. I'm doing the same thing Jim, punk-ass Jim, did on Sunday. Football
Paul
talk.
A great game?
No. Football talk on Sports Radio 610 presented by Paramount Plus. I heard him do this read. Sylvester Stallone is back, Tony, in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces the most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. And also,
most outstanding way I've ever heard anyone get into a read.
And also, Fire Country coming up next after we get done here in Orchard Park.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
I heard old Jim Nance read this, do this exact read I just did on the game on Sunday. I said,
"Oh, did you?"
Yes. I laughed as soon as I saw it come in.
You and Jim Nance sharing clients, man.
Yeah, I want to kick him in his nuts. All right, let's listen to D'Amico.
Shut
Ryans.
Up and let me do my job,
yeah. Mama. Listen, let's listen to D'Amico Ryans as he spoke to the media earlier today.
Appreciate you guys, man. It just started off just the injury update. Understand Stover hurt his foot, so he'll miss some time. Man, really hate that. He's playing tough, physical, exactly how we want it done. So he'll miss some time, so we'll have to, you know, upgrade our tight end room from that perspective. Andrews rolled his ankle, so he'll be day to day. See how that goes. Berrios and Kirk are doing well on their recovery. We'll see how they go this week. No timetable set right now for those guys.
What are some challenges that the Buccaneers I can't talk.
You're good.
What are some challenges that the Buccaneers present, especially in the passing game?
Yeah, the Bucks. One thing I'll say about the Bucks is starting off watching the tape, man. Baker Mayfield is, he's playing the best he's played in his career. Todd has done a really nice job of working with Baker. And the passing game, they were first in the league in passing last year, or they were top five in pretty much all the major offensive categories last year. And it shows they have weapons at receiver. Mike Evans has done it for a long time, continues to shine. The young kid, Igbuka, has done a really nice job making some explosive plays. He showed up big time for them in their game versus Atlanta. And Baker, he does a really nice job of just moving around, scrambling in the pocket, keeping plays alive. You see toughness, you see grittiness from Baker, which allows their passing game to thrive.
I don't want to act like this, the 2023 game has any bearing on today because it doesn't. But
well, you're asking the question, so it does.
I want to preface that first. But what was probably like the fondest memory of that? And yeah. Did you feel like that kind of helped you all's confidence kind of going into that season and to today too?
No, I understand that. That 2023 game was an outstanding game, probably one of the most memorable games of my head coaching career. It was just unbelievable to have such back and forth play, right? The way Baker played in that game, made some big time plays down the stretch there. They were able to score on us in the red zone and we get the ball back. Luckily, they scored. We let them score quick enough so we can have a little time left for CJ and the offense to drive down the field. And you know, just remember that drive is such a memorable drive. He hits a couple passes short, then we hit Tank on the big 7 route towards their sideline, and then come back the next play, and then we hit Tank, you know, in the end zone. I mean, what a memorable play! One that always resonates in my mind. Just when you see rookies who made the plays that they were able to make at that time, you knew we had something special in those guys.
Against another strong defensive front from the Buccaneers, what are some of the things that you observed after watching the Rams game as far as being able to help the offense get going this week?
Yeah, another great defensive line, starting with Vita Vea. He's a force in the middle. He does a really nice job run stopping. Also, they drop him back in coverage a little bit too, so he's a very versatile player. But their front, it comes from, you know, Todd's philosophy. He's going to bring a lot of exotic pressures. There are going to be pressures from safeties, nickels, like everybody's coming, and they do a really good job of disguising it. So we just really have to do a great job as an offense when the picture changes. Like, how are we reacting and responding the proper way, communicating the proper way when the picture changes? That'll be a challenge for us this week.
Aziz called himself the emotional regulator of the defense and the team. Is that something
nice.
You saw?
Yeah,
you like that? I thought it was like is that something you saw dating back to San Francisco, and how do you see that manifest itself now today on the sidelines, I guess?
Aziz's matured so much as a leader for me. Working with Aziz as a rookie in 2019 and where he is now, I see so much growth, so much leadership in him. I mean, you want somebody to talk to the team, he's the guy. So if it's the emotional regulator, he does that. He has a really great pulse of the locker room because of his connection with everyone. Like, Aziz is a guy, he can communicate with anyone very well. He can encourage you. He can give you some philosophy. He's a wise young man, and I'm happy to have him in our locker room where he can guide a lot of our players.
And can you talk about who that person is for you on offense? Who the, I don't know, emotional regulator is? Is there a guy on offense? That, I mean, I know it's a whole team, but is there somebody on offense that does that?
It's a whole team, Cam. It's a whole team. I said the one guy that really stands out, and that is Aziz, just for our entire team. I think from a standpoint, we have a lot of young guys, and Aziz is a guy he's seen it in a lot of in different teams. He's been on multiple teams. He knows how I operate. He knows what, you know, I expect more so than anyone on the team. So he's the guy that I think that our entire team can lean on.
Player like Nico Collins on offense, what's the balance between, hey, we want to make sure we get him the football enough, but also not change the way you operate the offense and make sure he's as involved as can be in the game plan?
Yeah. Throw it to Nico as many times as we can. Of course, that's a question everybody, you know, wants to answer. Of course we want to get the ball to Nico. He's one of our best players.
But offensively, I just think when you go back to the game on Sunday, we have so many plays where we're kind of playing behind the sticks and we're not doing things that we're trained to do. We're not doing things conducive to staying on track and being able to run our offense in that type of fashion. It's going to be hard, you know, to get the ball to a certain player here or there, right? Because you're second and 18, second and 10, third and long. Like, that's not where you want to operate as an offense. So we just got to come back this week, just do the things that we're coached to do, make sure we're staying on track offensively, making sure everybody's on the same page, and we're just putting ourselves in position to make positive plays. And when we have those positive plays, then it opens up the offense for us to be able to get the ball to whoever we want to get the ball to.
Jerry Patterson is filling in, and you have him in there. What do you see from him? And also just wanted to ask about the possibility of Harrison Bryant helping.
Yeah, Patterson's done a nice job. Patterson's played a lot of ball for us. He filled in last year. He stepped in wherever, guard, center. Patterson's going to give you everything he has, and that's all we expect from him. And I'm encouraged at how he plays.
With staying on track and penalties, how much are penalties about discipline and maybe just like overcompensating for not winning your individual matchup?
Yeah, so many different penalties happen in that game. So it's like, which penalty you want to talk about? It's you have some penalties where you're being a little too overly aggressive at times. Some penalties are technical where, you know, you're trying to be aggressive, hands come up a little bit. So things like that happen in the game, right? But the things you can't control for me are, the pre-snap penalties, right? Making sure we're in the right formation, no illegal shifts, no jumping off sides when we know. So it's just the pre-snap things. Those are the ones that are unacceptable to me because those we fully control those. So let's get those out of the way, and then let's see how we are. But aggressive penalties are going to happen. We're not losing our mind over that.
Are there things you can do in practice to limit those? I mean, I'm sure you already focus on him and tell him, not to do them. But when you have a game like you did on Sunday with so many penalties, do you do anything different in practice to –
guys, most of the time when the penalties happens, it's about, poor technique. So if your hands are too high, when we don't coach hands high, your hands are supposed to be low. You just need to kind of refocus yourself on actually doing and training yourself mentally and physically to do it exactly how we're coaching it to do. All right, then you don't have penalties when it comes to hands to the face mask type penalties, holding type penalties, making sure you're in a proper stance, making sure you're playing with low pads. Again, and if you play the right way, then you eliminate some of those just by playing with good technique and fundamentals.
After the game, CJ mentioned that he thought that there was lollygagging, not a great week of practice. You mentioned Aziz as a guy that knows what you want. So during the week, is that something you can recognize that can change? Who are you looking at offensively to say, hey, this is to stop like right now versus come Sunday, like, oh, it just wasn't a good week. Like, how do you stop having a bad week?
Yeah, it's never an entire group. That's the one thing about it. So there are individuals that have their moments throughout the week, and the lollygagging, it's a term everybody want to use now. It's for me, it's just our tempo, right, in and out of the huddle, right? We got to get in and out of the huddle quicker so we can get to the line of scrimmage so we can operate and make sure we got checks and things we have to make at the line of scrimmage. Well, to make those checks in the proper manner, right, we got to get out with some urgency. So the urgency piece from everybody has to pick up from the offensive side of the ball, right? The urgency picks up, and we'll be able to operate cleaner when it comes to pre-snap and post-snap.
So who are you looking at to say,
you're looking at him. I handle everything comes back to me. It's not about me, I need to talk to a player about doing this or that. We'll get it fixed. It's on me.
You said it before during training camp, how much the fans here invigorate this team and seeing them and having them be part of training camp and giving the energy to the team. What are you most looking forward to when it comes to, obviously, a home opener can reinvigorate a team coming off a loss in week one?
For us, we got to go play the right way, right? Fans show up, be excited about what we do here, but for our fans to be excited about anything we do here in Houston, the Texans have to play better.
Kim, sorry.
You good? Go ahead.
You answered it. I got it.
All right. You sure? All right.
Yeah, I got one. You good?
Okay.
Sorry, as always, got
Coach, I know that, you know, there's only been one undefeated team that, you know, has completed a whole season that, you know, undefeated, I think 1972 Miami Dolphins, right? So, you know that it going into that, it's going to be hard to win every game. How much do you emphasize, hey guys, it's only week one, we still have a whole lot of football left? How do you tell them, hey, it's just one game, let's move past this and get on and move on to Tampa Bay?
Yeah, Sarge, thank you, man. That's the nature of our business, right? That's, man, you lose, fire everybody, trade every player, right? You win, going to the Super Bowl. Like, then the next week, everything, I get it. Like, that's the nature of our business. It's exciting because you have so many different outlets, so many different people have an opinion. So many people love football. So I love the passion. I love the energy that comes with this, right? It's fun, man. We really enjoy this. And we understand the seriousness of it as well, right? But to that point, the realistic point, it's one game. It's week one. The building isn't burning down. It's week one. We go back and we fix what we need to fix, come out and do the things that we can control. That's the main emphasis for this week. How can we just control the controllables and press forward? And now, when you have a chance to truly compete, now let's see what happens.
All right, that's head coach DeMeco Ryans. He covered a lot of different things, from lollygagging to leaders on the offense and defensive side of the ball. Nico Collins, a lot there as he spoke with the media earlier today. A little 5 o'clock fire coming up next. We'll get you ready for the Astros, but not only that, some of the injury front. They are getting another healthy pitcher back. We will tell you who that is, and some adjustments on the injury front again. Back-to-back days, starters, the Texans are going to be without. We'll let you know the latest on all of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.